Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hit and Hustle from IrishSportsDaily.com. I'm Greg Flamong. That's the professor of Jamie University, Jamie Uoyama. We're going to be talking about 2025 recruiting today. Really fun show. Some news and notes of things that are going on that front. The recruiting train is always moving, so we're gonna catch everybody up on that. We're gonna talk about Mike Denbrock meeting with the media last week. Talk about some of his comments. And Jamie, we've got the combine coming up. Are you excited? Do you love the combine? Do you like to talk about the prospects, the guys who are working out? Is it something that you pay attention to? It's like a NFL media machine. Do you buy into that whole circus?
I love it. I mean, I think it's kind of maybe blown a little bit out of proportion in recent years because they try to kind of make it we're more of like, oh, it's prime time. These guys got to be running in prime time. And they kind of backed off of that this year, which is nice. But I've always enjoyed the combine. Like, I just think it's fun to watch these guys who are going to be, you know, the next – you know, stars of the NFL and see like how they test, see how they move here. Most of all, I like just listening to like, you know, like Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis and Bucky Brooks and all these guys who work on, you know, for the NFL Network telecast and the former players they bring in for those specific guys too, like for specific positions. I like hearing them talk about the prospects, right? If you love football and you're like a football junkie, it's like, guess what? There's no ball going on right now. So this is the next best thing. So I enjoy it. I've always been like an NFL draft nut.
Yeah, I'm an NFL draft nut too. I mean, they suck me in, right? I know they're doing it, the NFL and their propaganda machine. But you know what? It's kind of harmless propaganda, right? Like, it's just fun. It's fun to watch. And it's fun to, you know, take in any sort of NFL football content, right? And so I think people like that. I think that it's just kind of what I've learned over the last few years is like the more important part of the combine is the interview process and the medicals, especially the medicals can be a big deal, especially for someone like Cam Hart. He's going to have his medicals and that's going to be a big deal for him and his process and the interviews. Right. So how these guys present themselves to the NFL franchises and how they answer questions, things of that nature. Obviously, we've heard stories about some of the questions are not very topical and they're not very, it's just kind of they're off the wall. Like some of them are kind of ridiculous, almost to the point of just like seeing how guys react. So, but you know, everyone understands that interviews are important and putting your best foot forward. And if you've got an interview coming up, anyone listening, and you want to put your best foot forward, you want to dress nice, and what you can do for that is you can go to ESQClothing.com, which is founded by Notre Dame alum God Wang. You've seen ESQ and all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches with over a decade of making the best custom clothing available. ESQ will help you look and feel your best in 2024 from a perfect-fitting suit or sport coat, shirt or bomber jacket, or that perfect tuxedo for wedding season. Check out God's amazing work at esqclothing.com and book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention ISD and get 10% off your entire purchase. Jamie, imagine going into an interview with someone, you're wearing your ESQ shirt and they're like a Notre Dame alum or Notre Dame fan. And they know all about your outfit. I mean, what that's just, you're winning the interview right off the top. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right. First impression, you're getting it right away.
Yeah, exactly. So Jacob Paulus in the chat says, thanks for the Derek Mays interview. It was awesome. What a great insight. And he is so knowledgeable. Absolutely. So we have I did an interview with Derek Mays last week. Very fortunate to get this interview. He doesn't do a lot of media stuff. We have a mutual friend connection. We got hooked up. And he gave me an hour of his time. I was very appreciative of that. And I thought it went really well. I enjoyed talking to him. I told him, his jersey was my first jersey I ever had as a young boy, right? 13-year-old Greg walking around in a Derek Mays jersey. So you're going to want to check that out. Check out all our content. And if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to our channel so you can see all of our content. Like this video, like that video, like all of our videos, and hit the notification bell. So whenever it is we're posting a video or we're going live, or it might be. Right. And so I enjoyed the time. Thank you, Jacob, for watching that and shouting it out. All right. Let's do some recruiting stuff, recruiting news and notes. Devin Williams, 25 cornerback, I should say, commits to Auburn. I think kind of out of the blue. I think everyone kind of knew Auburn was a threat to land him. They were involved in the process, but he had just set a visit to Notre Dame in the spring. So he was going to come. People remember he was supposed to come to Junior Day. Weather got in the way of that, didn't come to Junior Day. And now he's committed to Auburn. We both put him on our list of players that Notre Dame had to land, right? We really wanted them to land him and get him in the class. That is not happening, Jamie. How do you view this? How do you view this in the overall landscape of the 2025 class?
I mean, it's a loss because, I mean, for all the reasons that we just list him as a must get, right? Like, he's a great athlete. You know, he's from an area of the country that, you know, that it does mean something if Notre Dame was to land someone, you know, from that area of Georgia, from his school, you know, which produces a ton of talent, you know, year after year. So, you know, from that, and you're beating, you know, the big boys in the SEC to get him, yeah. Right? So that's always a big deal, just like it's a big deal to land like KVA when it's like Ohio State and USC or the other finals, right? Like, those are always big time gets no matter what. And I mean, I will say that, you know, seeing that he measured in at 5'9" at the last like Atlanta Under Armour camp was like, yeah, a little like, wow, I didn't think he was 5'9". So that's shorter than I thought. But he is an elite athlete. Like, he's an elite athlete. And like, he still would have been a guy that I think that you would have wanted in the class. In saying that, I think they're still going to be pretty fine at corner. If there was one of those kind of must gets that they were going to lose out on, I think if it was a corner, you're going to be okay, because I think they still got Dallas Golden on the board. They still got Mark Zachary, as Jacob mentioned in his piece too, right? Which, I mean, you could have made arguments. I mean, we did list Golden on there, but like, you could have made an argument for Zachary on there too. They're still after some other guys, like that, some really, really talented guys. Like, obviously they just offered that Penson kid, who is Dalen Penson, who is like an elite athlete, like just ridiculous, you know, testing numbers. And just, you watch him on the field, he mostly plays, you know, quarterback on offense, but the guy is just like, you know, electric athlete, right? Yeah. So, you know, I would say in like the kind of Micah Bell mold, right, with that kind of a very similar, just like, this guy's just top of the tops, elite, twitchy, electric athleticism. So, and they have, and there are other guys they're after too. And like, obviously they got Cree Thomas too, who could play safety, could play corner. He's a guy that obviously that, you know, Mike Mickens really, really, really liked.
And it's targeted him super early. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I don't think it's like, it's not like a crushing blow for the class overall. But, you know, always with when it's like that, I kind of put it similar to Caleb Beasley in the previous class, where it's like, man, it looked like Notre Dame had a shot, and then he committed to Tennessee. And it was just like, man, it just would have been great to get him on campus that one more time before that. But, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like kind of shocking that he Georgia missed on him too, Devin Williams ended up at Auburn and Georgia is also like, they missed out, right? That's kind of surprising to me. Like, to me, it's like a bigger loss for them than Notre Dame in that respect. Like, this is a Buford Georgia player, right? You know, I like, obviously my feelings are known on Devin Williams. I think he's a terrific player. Like you said, you know, they have Mark Zachary, they have Dallas Golden. That's a good class to go along with Cree Thomas. And I think Penson is just like a great take for just get a tremendous athlete in your program. you know, get him in there. And that's what you do. And that's what you can do when you have someone like Cree Thomas. And if you can get Dallas Golden and Mark Zachary in fold, then you can absolutely take a guy who it's like, hey, we don't, you know, he's not really playing the position right now in high school. He's mostly playing quarterback on offense. But shoot, it's like Brandon Hillman, really. It's like kind of the same thing. It's like get a guy like him in the program and see what he can do. So it's a good shout for Notre Dame to get in on him. Some other recruiting news and notes. Will Black blowing up, Jamie, I guess. He On3 came out with their updated rankings. They listed him as a five-star, number six overall.
Number six overall.
And look at it, it's throw it into the average, right? I think we were chatting about this on our text message thread. You don't have him as number six overall.
No, not as number six.
But you think he's gonna have a top 100 player. So talk a little bit about
that. I mean, I already, if I was doing a top 100 rankings, he would be in my top 100 right now, right? So here's what I wrote about his ceiling. So you kind of get an idea of kind of what I thought about him. So in only his first year of high school football in the United States, Canadian plays like someone who's been trained to be an offensive lineman for a long time. He's an impressive athlete, a natural knee bender, has a nasty disposition when it comes to the run game. It's crazy that he's 295 because plenty of room to add good weight, and that is going to be scary when that happens. I know that will sound crazy because this guy's about to be a top 10. Pick in the next NFL draft, but it reminds me a lot of Joe Alt with his wide base and ability to control defenders with his length. Black has big time traits, has it all to develop into outstanding offensive tackle for the Irish. So, I mean, the comp was Joe Alt. So, I mean, I think very highly of him. I think he's going to, I don't know if I'd put him as the top offensive tackle in the class, but it actually wouldn't shock me if he ended up being the top tackle in the class. So
yeah,
I don't mind that they did it. Like, I wouldn't put him there right now, but I think it's one of those, like, you call your shot. It's just so funny though, how opinions can differ so much when it comes to so many of these prospects, when it comes to, like, now that there's, you know, there's On3, there's Rivals, there's ESPN, there's 24/7, right? And then I do rankings for ISD, and there's other people who do rankings as well. But I just look like just right now, like at noon, Rivals came out with their top 250. And just as we were getting ready for the show, I looked it up, and like Will Black, not in the top 250 for Rivals, which I mean, maybe he'd still be a four-star and not in whatever, but still, like, to be number six by somebody and not in the top 250 by somebody else is wild. Like, that is,
that's a huge disparity in terms of how, like we talk about rankings versus ratings and stuff. Like, the rating is completely different. Like, the two services see a totally different player. Like, they see totally different what he's going to be or what he could be. That's interesting, right? So so I guess Jacob Paulus asks, like, why the jump, or why do you think there's a disparity? Let's put it like that. Like, what could do you? I guess who in your opinion is more on Will Black, who he could be, who he is, I guess, and just the way that you kind of see him, like, because how do you see? Why do you think people have such a different opinion about him as a player?
Honestly, I think it's probably because, who's evaluating him probably has different values for what they're doing. And remember the kind of thing where we were talking about last week about how, like, different sites have, like, they have some coverage in the Northeast and some have none. And some, like, or maybe you have somebody out there, but you've only seen Will Black once. And maybe you saw him on a day where he had basketball practice, and then he came out and had a football practice, and then it was like not his best day ever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, right? Like, all of those kind of things, like, context always matters with it, but it doesn't really get taken into account because for a lot of this stuff, because you don't, there's so many of these guys that they see, it's funny. There's some of these guys that are like, man, I remember seeing this guy when he was in eighth grade. It's like when Bryce Young, not Notre Dame's Bryce Young, but Bryce Young, the quarterback who went to Notre Dame and then went to, was committed to USC and went to Alabama, number one pick, right? Well, he was like a guy who was, it's so funny because he was one of those guys who was like, everybody's been counting me out. This guy had like Alabama offer when he was in grade eight, but like, or eighth grade, but like all these guys who they view that way. And it's like those guys they've seen for so long. And it's like, it's just a different, you get so much a different evaluation on that guy than you are going to get a guy you've only seen twice or maybe never, or maybe you only saw the huddle film and you didn't watch, you know, the game film, right? You didn't, or maybe you didn't see him in a camp. Like, obviously, like, I'm going to guess none of these people got the same evaluation that Michigan and Notre Dame got on Will Black because he camped at both those schools, right? So it's like, it's just, that's why I think there's just a disparity. But it's just, I just wanted to point this out too, because this is just wild too. Like, Chris Burgess, who obviously, you know, that's a Notre Dame commit, and Owen Strebig. Chris Burgess moved up 23 spots. He's 39th in Rivals rankings. Owen Strebig is 44th. He moved up 22 spots, right? Like, they're the highest ranked guys for Rivals. And whenever I think that too, I always think, and I like, so Taylen Taylor, who, you know, Notre Dame fans obviously know he's like a receiver prospect that Notre Dame's after. He's like, you know, where is he? Right here, sorry. Well, first of all, Nathaniel Owosu-Boateng, 24th for them. So that's the highest that I've seen him. Taylen Taylor, 31st, right? And I just think that like some of that is not with Boateng, but like Taylor and Strebig and Burgess, some of that is because those guys are in the Midwest and they have like more guys who can watch guys in the Midwest than other than, and that's where they kind of focus. Right. And sometimes when those Midwest guys hit, they're right more, but you know, if you 24/7 has more guys in the Southeast and if there's more guys that are in Florida, you know, blowing up, then that's going to be, you know, that's going to help them with their rankings. Right. And if you have like more people watching in like the West Coast, and if you don't have someone in the West Coast, like all that kind of stuff matters with the rankings, with all of this stuff. Because especially because there's so much of it. It's like they have all these guys come together, but they're not like, it's not like they all get together and watch tape together, you know? Right. So it's like, they're having the conversations about it and that's how it goes. I mean, I can only just, so I don't know exactly why Rivals wouldn't have him in the top 250. That seems insane to me. You know, but I just could tell you just what I've seen from him. I'm like, yeah, this guy is, he's got a chance to be special, right? And I was thinking about this the other day, and sorry, this is just like going on to a long rant now, but
you're good, bud.
I was just thinking about this of how like, there's been such a philosophy change within Notre Dame's staff compared to the previous staff, where I think Notre Dame's previous staff, it wasn't like they didn't do a good job of identifying good football players. They did. There's plenty of guys that they got who were good football players. But I just think there's like guys like, I don't know if the Adam Nola twins would have got offered it by this Notre Dame staff. Maybe
why?
Jason.
Why do you say that?
Well, because they're they don't fit like the criteria in terms of like size, you know, they're not like, they don't have the wingspan. They don't have the elite testing kind of stuff. Right. Like they're very good. We're great players, right? Like great players in high school and guys who were developed and they came in and like more advanced in terms of some of their hand usage and all that kind of stuff. But that isn't where Notre Dame is at now. It's like, and I think in general, college football, there's way more of like where Jason Owe or Odafe Owe now, right? That's, he goes by his given name now. But the guy who went to Penn State and who was a target for Notre Dame, that was a guy who would like, he'd only played 1 year of football and he was so raw. Like his junior year film was like gross. It wasn't good. But you could see like, oh, this guy's just long and he's a freak athlete and whatever. And then his senior year, he looked great and he blew up, and he had already blown up as a recruit, but he'd blown up with his ranking and all that kind of stuff. And then obviously he became a first round pick, you know, plays for the Ravens now. Right. But like that kind of guy doesn't, it's not like he doesn't have that rise anymore. He's already rated high now, because those are the guys people are looking for now. You know, they're looking for those guys that it's like that Darren, I don't want to butcher his last name.
Darren
I, right? So the kid from Jersey, mm-hmm. who's like super long and he's got some twitch and whatever. But if you watch him, you're like, man, this guy is raw, like all caps raw. But you could see if you could put it all together, man, this guy could be special. And it's like, where maybe that guy didn't get offered by Notre Dame in the past. And now those guys are like, that guy's got a Georgia offer. He's got a Notre Dame offer. He's got all, like, that's just how it's just different now, where I think in general, they're doing a better job of projecting and saying like, hey, we could develop these guys, rather than like, this is what this guy is now and we're going to take him.
I mean, it's like, it's back to the kind of like the Brian Kelly philosophy when he first came to Notre Dame, like big skill, big size and all that other stuff. Like he was really looking for prototypes. That must not have like polled very well, or, you know, that parlance, like people didn't like hearing that. So he stopped saying it after like 2 years. But like, that's kind of where they are now. But it also leads to like a different, like, okay, like they wouldn't offer the Adam Alolas. Maybe they wouldn't offer Howard Cross, you know?
Yeah. No, like I totally thought somebody about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they wouldn't offer him, you know? And so that's kind of, it's like like they would have 100% gone after like Riley Mills.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But like Howard Cross, no. So it's just kind of like, I don't know.
You can miss out on good players.
100%. You're always missing, right? You're always like projections. Like it happens with offensive linemen all the time. Like Zinter who went to Michigan, like they passed on him. Obviously that was a mistake. Right. But like, there's also guys you pass on that no one ever hears about because they actually don't end up panning out. So it's just kind of interesting. And also like listening to you talk about like the rankings and stuff, like it just kind of goes down to my point. Like, I think that if you look, like for me, when I'm online and I'm like, I'm on Twitter and I'm looking at information and I'm looking at all this stuff, like I do they're like On3 especially right now. And I'm not trying to bang on3, like the people who work for On3, it's just kind of as a business model, right? Like same thing with 247, same thing with Rivals right now. Like there's a lot of engagement stuff that goes on. Like everything is kind of after engagement. And it just makes me think that like these rankings are like they're huge parts of their business model, right? And how they rank players in the recruiting and all that stuff, right? So it's just like it's hard to, when it's your business model, it's hard to, I don't want to say, it's going to sound nefarious because I don't mean it as nefarious, but like they have to be having discussions about what will drive engagement and what will have people looking at our rankings and stuff. So that's also like, that's also kind of in the background, right? So it's difficult, right? And again, I'm not trying to impugn On3 or 247 or Rivals at all. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying like, it's the nature of the business. And so it's just like, that goes into all this too. With rankings and things of that nature. All right, let's a little bit more recruiting news and notes. Deuce Knight, there's some news about him. He's scheduled a couple visits to Notre Dame, so that's that. We put in Irish Intel that comes out every Friday, which is basically an update on all things recruiting. Matt and Christian work on it together, and so it's kind of a collaborative effort. Sometimes I think Matt writes it up, sometimes Christian writes it up. Not really sure who it is, but they put an update on Deuce Knight. And the fact of the matter is that Alabama is in hot pursuit of him. And he has a very good relationship with that coaching staff, the new coaching staff that's coming in, Kalen DeBoer, and the people who are working there. I'm just bringing everyone's attention to the fact that it is a thing that needs to be considered. And this is going to be a hot pursuit for Notre Dame to hold on to Deuce Knight. I think they've done a good job with him. He obviously likes Notre Dame a lot. I guess it'll eventually just come down to Mike Frank's old adage, like watch what his actions are, right? If he starts taking visits to Alabama, if he starts doing that stuff, regardless of what he tells people, I talked to Deuce Knight and he says he's locked in Notre Dame. All right, I talked to Deuce Knight. That stuff will stop to matter at some point if his actions start to indicate that he has a strong interest in Alabama, Jamie. How important do you think it is that Notre Dame hangs on to him? I know they've got some players who they could pivot to, some quarterbacks. They've been on Deuce Knight for a long time. They've been on him early. I think he's a perfect fit for what like Mike Denbrock wants to do, what Notre Dame could do, what they're trying to do on offense. But how important is it that Notre Dame hangs on to Deuce Knight here?
I think it's pretty critical. They hang on to him. Like, I just think he's just different than any of the other guys that they're after and really any of the other guys that they have in the quarterback room now. And it's not to say that they couldn't get like somebody else that's really good or maybe even great, right? Like that's easily could happen, right? Like I think right now you'd say like with like the Kenny Minchie situation, I would say right now, if we're just doing like, you know, stock up, stock down, you'd probably say Kenny Minchie, you'd probably put him above Dante Moore at this point, just because you're like, well, I don't know. I mean, all the red flaggy stuff with Dante Moore kind of like came out and it was like, it showed itself in, and now he's at another school already. Right. So, and who knows, and he's probably not going to start this year because they got Dylan Gabriel. Like, so it's like, who the heck knows? This guy could be on his fourth school in 4 years. Like that could easily happen with him. And Kenny Minchie might be the next starting quarterback for Notre Dame after, like, you know, so all that kind of stuff. It's like, you just never know how it's going to play out. So you got to just kind of let it all hang out. But in saying that, like, you want to have Deuce Knight. He's just such a unique athlete that you can really just build something around him. And I think he could just really be a special college football player. And then I think, too, the fact that he's also so, like, heavily involved in recruiting the class. And then if he were to leave, like, I'm not saying a bunch of guys would bolt because of that, but it does hurt. It does hurt the class when the guy who's supposedly the ringleader, if that guy left. So the way I look at it is you have to look at it how it was a couple of years ago when Notre Dame had a similar situation with Dante Moore and Keon Keaton, who wasn't officially committed, right? But he was like leaning or, you know, silent or whatever you want to say it, right? And Keon Keeley, who was a longtime commit, and then same with Peyton Bowen, right? And it was one of those things where there were rumblings about all those guys for a long time, and it was like, okay, well, let's see what happens. And I was like, well, guess what? They're going to be on campus for the Blue Gold game, or they're going to be on campus for this. And it's like, well, if they could just get them to shut it down for them. But it's like, they didn't get them to shut it down. Like, we never got them to shut it down. So it just, I think that's the way to kind of view it with Deuce Knight. It's like, well, he has these multiple visits coming up. And I understand, like, he's got these relationships with Alabama. And there's a lot. I mean, you can't blame him for keeping, like, communication open based on just how everything has turned out. Like, think of all the things of just that has happened with Deuce Knight and Notre Dame since he's committed, right? Like just the different coordinators, and then there's this and there's that, and then you now you got a different coach, and he doesn't know that. How does he know that Gino Gaudioli is still going to be there? And you're like, there's all these different scenarios, right? It's like, I don't blame anyone for kind of keeping their options open or just like having an ear out for certain things, right? But like, you know, you want to look at it as if they're going into this situation and he's kind of like this foundational piece of the class, if they come out of the spring and he's visited multiple times and then he's like, yeah, I'm going to take an official to Alabama in the summer or whatever, right? That's like, maybe he sticks still, but it's still not a great sign. Like, that's not what, you know, any Notre Dame person on their staff should want. That's not what any Notre Dame fan should want. So it's just one of those things where you just got to hope that what they've done to kind of build the relationship will have staying power. But that's the other thing about, which is rankings. Yes. Yeah. Like we said, you can point to all these different things and say, this is worthless. This means this, this means whatever. Yeah. But Will Black being the number six player in the country, that is the kind of thing that kind of helps. You know what I mean? That is right, the kind of thing. Sure. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, this, my left tackle is the number one offensive lineman in the country. Like,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff does help. Right. So, it's a weird way that it's all like kind of interconnected.
And the thing is like, it's so these commitments and the recruitments and stuff, like, it's all kind of like, it's kind of like a relationship, right? Like, I remember someone told me when I was in college, like, hey, like the thing about relationships is they're always kind of like building towards something. You're always kind of progressing. When there's a break in that progress and there's actually a degression or a regression, I should say, that's when it's like that relationship usually is like critically imperiled to the point where it ends, you know? So like with Deuce, it's like you commit and then you're taking visits, you're pumping up everyone to come, If he visits Alabama, especially officially, if he officially visits Alabama, then it's like that is a regression in the relationship between Notre Dame and Deuce Knight, right? Now, it's not impossible, right? Not every relationship that goes through a blip ends, but usually, generally speaking, like that usually, once things start going backwards, that's a bad sign, right? So
yeah,
that's something to monitor. We don't know, right? I don't, again, this isn't anything to impugn Deuce Knight at all. I'm just saying this is what's going on, right? So something to keep our eye on.
Yeah.
Another thing to keep our eye on is a new offer at wide receiver, Brandon Finney from Owings Mills, Maryland. We were just texting about him today, Jamie. He's got a pretty banger 55 meter time, which is a 6.41, which is it's moving. I know what I ran in the 55 meters in high school, and this is considerably faster. Give me your comp for him. I'm gonna throw up some highlights. Give me your comp for him before we throw up the highlights.
My comp for him was Cam Hart. That was my comp for him.
Okay.
Because he's actually a guy who plays corner. And
Yeah. He does. And I'm throwing some highlights here. Receiver. We will see and some corner stuff.
He's a tall guy who obviously can run. You know, he snatches the ball pretty well. You see him like after the catch here. He can run well. Skinny kid, right? But you got the long levers. Always like to see it. He's got like just that easy stride. You know, and he's a guy, I mean, he's got a 10-2, love just guys snatching it up there and running after the catch. You love to kind of see that, right? Yeah. And I think you would see you could see some of that stuff at receiver and why people like him as receiver. And he was offered as a receiver by Notre Dame, but here's he as a corner, right? And that's just him breaking on the ball. But I just look at a guy and I just think, when I just hear, 6'2", he's got like a, I think 79 inch wingspan. He's, legit 6'2". He's long and he's that fast. I think corner. And when I think of that, I think of Cam Hart, because the guy with all the measurables, right? Who can kind of do all this stuff. And I'm not saying that if you watch him, I don't think he's like technically he's raw in a lot of ways, right? But I'm just talking about just traits wise. That's the kind of guy that I see that he could be. I mean, easily, obviously they have a need at receiver, and maybe I have no idea how like Mike Mickens feels about him as a corner, or if they just like him at receiver, and Oregon just offered him as well. I'm not sure where they view him as, but like, that was the guy that jumped out to me, was Cam Hart.
I got Boykin. I got Miles Boykin here. And the reason I said it is because if I watched this tape without knowing his time, I'd have been like, it's kind of similar to Ramon Henderson, right? I think he's a little bit more like, I don't think Well, Ramon Henderson did play corner, but Ramon Henderson is like the most extreme long strider that I think I've ever seen. Yeah. And I don't think that Finney is that much of a long strider, but like it's similar to that in that it's like, man, he doesn't look like he's like, oh, this is a track athlete banger time. But now that I know what he ran, it's like I kind of see it. And I think Miles Boyk, and like you watch him and it's like he's not that fast. Like he's kind of he's got long strides and stuff, but then you see his 40 time, he runs a 4.42, right? Like so he's kind of got that because the long strides kind of mask like the acceleration and how fast he's actually moving. That's what I see there. And so I like him in that he's different than the other guys that they're in on, right? And that's why I like him. Like he's kind of a different type, right? He's got the size. He's got like the long levers. You say levers, Jamie? Levers? Yeah. You're talking about his arms?
Levers, levers, whatever you want.
That's good stuff. What is that? Is that a Canadian thing? I've never heard that.
I don't know. It's probably a Canadian thing. I
love that. We're using it. Long levers. That's good stuff. I was like, that's a Jamie Uyama special right there. But no one else has that kind of length. Also, another one is kind of like Braylon James, right? To me, it's like that's very much a Braylon James replacement, right? Just kind of like, hey, that type of athlete, get him in the program. And so it'll be interesting to monitor that. That's a new offer that they put out. So that's something we're going to keep an eye on there. And something you're going to want to keep an eye on, Jamie, is your website. If you want to improve it, you got to keep an eye on these things. You got to keep an eye on the new trends, things that people are doing to spice up their website, to spice up their social media page. And if you feel like you've got a gap in that, then you have got to go to vsrmediacompany.com, which is founded by Notre Dame football pregame host and Emmy Award-winning anchor Vahid Saadrizadeh. VSR Media provides professional and cinematic video and photo. Whether you're looking for a collegiate or pro-level highlight reel, have a personal story to tell, or are aiming to diversify and grow your business, VSR Media specializes in short and long-form video storytelling, social media management, and website design. VSR Media also captures professional headshots, senior and sports photos. Contact them at vsrmediacompany.com. Mention Irish Sports Daily to receive 20% off your first project. Visit them online or give them a call at 574-800-9106. Switching gears here, Jamie. Mike Denbrock met with the media for the first time since being hired as the new offensive coordinator last week. Talked about leaving LSU. He said Brian Kelly was probably not very excited about that, but he probably understood. And why he left, he said, well, it's Notre Dame, and that's why I left. And I thought it was interesting, given the talk last week about whether Notre Dame is a relevant program, whether it's relevant in college football. You have the number one offense, the offensive coordinator for the number one offense. His quarterback is going in the first round. They got two wide receivers going in the first round. SEC powerhouse leaving there to go to Notre Dame. And the conversation is whether – it's like these conversations take place in like an alternate universe where like there's actually not data or any sort of anything to kind of disprove their theory. Number one offense goes to Notre Dame. Obviously still a relevant program there. So that was interesting. Talked a lot about more 11 personnel and how that helps the run game, Jamie. I wanted to focus in on that because I know that you have thoughts on how that could be the case. So Mike Denbrock said Notre Dame's probably going to show a lot more 11 personnel to help out the run game. Explain to the people why that might be the case.
Well, some of it is, you know, just spreading people out, right? So right. The box, when you're going to have 11 personnel, which is – for those that don't know, it's, you know, means one back and one tight end, but most of all, like the way for just the regular fan to look at it is three receivers, right? So three receivers, and it doesn't mean like three receivers as in like one of those guys is a tight end. It's like actual three receivers. So it's just personnel, right? That it's the personnel and not where they're lined up. And obviously you can have 11 personnel and be congested and be constricted, but it's like,
for sure,
most of the time you are spread out, right? You are spread out and you can do a lot of different things with it. And so when you're spread out, that means you can take less, there's going to be less people defending in the box. And that's, so that opens things up there. And so there's that possibility, right? And it also means that, like, if teams are going to play, if you're going to play 11 personnel, that means that teams got to match you. And they gotta use a nickel most of the time. And if they don't use a nickel, you can have a slot and say, okay, linebacker, please cover Jordan Faison, right? Cover Jaden Thomas. Like, and then you get to take advantage of those matchups, right? So they have to kind of get smaller to be able to match up in the pass game. And that takes one less bigger defender to defend the run game. So that is obviously helpful, right? The other part of it is motion, which we've already kind of talked about, you know, you and I, Greg, with Denbrock and how his use of motion and how that he's a frequent use of motion, used it more than any offense in the SEC the last 2 years, like in terms of pre-snap motion. Well, you can do it a lot more when you have these receivers that are outside. It's not like you can't move and shift tight ends, but when you're moving and shifting tight ends, it doesn't shift the back end as much. It shifts more of just like what's going on in terms of like alignments within the box and like and run fits there and all that kind of stuff, right? So, but if you're doing like, say, like orbit motion where you're bringing a guy all the way back around, or you're bringing someone and he's running all the way across the other side of the formation, well, that opens up not just you have your regular blocking signs, but then that could open up running lanes for to break it after you get to the second and third level, right? So that's the kind of thing where JD Price and Jeremiah Love, you're thinking about those two guys, get these guys in space more, get them a little bit more space. They have the speed to break it, right? So I just think there's a lot of different things. It doesn't necessarily mean that Notre Dame's going to be like way more pass happy or like throw it as much as, you know, they did at LSU, because let's face it, like Ryan Leonard isn't Jaden Daniels. They don't have Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. Like, right. So I don't expect them to be exactly like that. They don't have the personnel to do that. And it's not even that I expect them to not run 12 personnel, because guess what? Mitchell Evans and Eli Raridan, they might be two of your best 11. So right. If that's the case, you're going to want to have them on the field a decent amount, just maybe not as much as you had previously. And you don't want to play as much bully ball as you did. And it's not to say that like it can't work in certain instances. Obviously, like, you know, Notre Dame had plenty of success playing that kind of game. You know, specifically if you look at like, say 2020, when they had like, Tommy Tremble and he was like a battering ram, right. And what he could do. But if you don't have two tight ends that are really going to be like great blockers like that, it's like, it doesn't open up the same. Right. And it's harder, and it's a lot harder to play bully ball like that. And especially too, your line doesn't have to be as good if there's less people in the box to block.
Right.
So that just, it's just, there's all these different things. And like, just the simple way of saying what Jacob Pauls just said, spread or run. It's like, that is kind of like the simple way to say it, but it's just, there's different possibilities and more possibilities to be more explosive in the run game, but then also in the passing game too, where you can find matchups and stuff too. Right. Because if teams, not everyone has a good nickel. Not everyone has a good nickel, like slot corner. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of teams have a guy where they're going to play a safety there at that kind of like nickel spot. Some teams going to play a linebacker. And guess what? Like 99% of the teams don't have a Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah that they can play that at that kind of rover slash nickel, you know, backer type spot. Right. So if that's the case, it makes so much sense to run more 11 personnel than they have.
Right. And the other thing is like he's talking about numbers, right? So it's like number, like it's literally just like a numbers thing. And if you look at LSU, like that's why they're such a heavy RPO team. Like Jaden Daniels, cause they're really good. Like like LSU was one of the top play action rate teams in NCAA, if not the most, right? Like, I know they're very high up there. It's because of that, right? They're just counting numbers there. And the other part too is, like you talked about, you don't need numbers in the box. You can spread them out. And like you said, the point about being a nickel all the time is good because then you're not as heavy. And I think I'm sure Matt Freeman was just like doing cartwheels in his head. Irish Sports Daily's Matt Freeman, because he's a big, like, Notre Dame is they don't have running lanes because everyone is in there. Like they're just so condensed in the box. It's like it's hard to be explosive. It's hard to break one. It's like we talk about with Jeremiah Love. Why can't he break one? Like same thing with Jadarian Price. Like, why can't they break a big one? It's like, well, because there's so many people, right? It's at some point you can't make everybody miss there. And the other part too is, like, because let's say you have a light box as it is, and then you can basically use Riley Leonard. You can change the numbers there because you can use Riley Leonard as a runner, and the running back can be a blocker for him. So the numbers can be even more in your favor, even if they did have a light box, right? And that's the import of having someone like Riley Leonard. Think of, like, some of the stuff they did, like the short yardage stuff they did with DeShone Kizer in 2015, right? They used him in the running game all the time on you know, different types of schemes. And that's with, like, a good running back, right? Like, that's with CJ ProSize and Josh Adams, right? Like, they were able to get matchups and numbers advantages with DeShone Kizer as a runner. Riley Leonard's a much better runner than DeShone Kizer was. So it's just kind of the chess match and the kind of the different way that he views how to be a powerful team, basically just by putting the numbers in your advantage, where in the past couple of years, Notre Dame's been like, hey, we're gonna basically get an advantage by shifting formation, or we're going to overload a side, right? We're going to go uneven on the offensive line, and we're going to get you that way, and then we'll run at you with power. Basically the Clemson game.
Yeah.
You know, over and over again. So that's something to, you know, it's good to hear, right? Like, yeah. you want that.
And I think one of the other things too, and Matt highlighted in his Sunday Reflections column that he put in, that I think it's important to note that, you know, Dembrock, which, you know, kind of fits with just exactly kind of how he's been as an OC, is that, like, he said, like, if we got to run it 50 times to win it, or we're going to pass it 50 times, that's what we got to do it. And the thing is, with where Notre Dame was at, is there's no way if they had to pass it 50 times, they'd lose every time. That's just how they've been built. In recent years, right? And that's not how you want to be built. You want to be built that you could do either way, right? Like, you could do that. And it's also, like, a lot easier to do to say, like, hey, we're going to throw it, you know, 50 times. Or I know that's exaggeration. It's whatever type,
right, of right,
like, of you're throwing it 30 to 40, whatever, right? But, like, you're throwing it that many times. You're throwing it more. Well, you can have more success throwing it more when it's not, like, you know, you're running unbalanced sets, like you said, and with two tight ends.
Yeah. Max Bulla also met the media after being named officially the linebackers coach. It was interesting, like, talking. First of all, like, right when he started, it almost sounded like he was getting, like, emotional about being the official linebacker coach and being back at Notre Dame. He talked about how his mom went to Notre Dame. I think he had an uncle who he had a couple family members who played for Notre Dame, right? So yeah, he was saying, his, like,
grandfather.
Yeah. So he's like, I went to Michigan State, but, like, my family is deeply rooted in Notre Dame. And he was, I mean, it sounded like he was emotional about it, which is, like, cool, right? Cool to hear him talk about that. Talked about how he considered himself the linebacker coach last year, even though he was just a GA, which kind of goes into, like, what we talked about with the safeties and how they're going to get a GA who is essentially going to be the safety coach. And so, you know, we talk about Mike Mickens. He oversees the whole thing, but really there is going to be a specific person who's coaching the safeties next year. So it'll be interesting to see who that is. But he just talked about how his philosophy and coaching the linebackers, and talks about Kingston Viliamuasa, who basically was doing a shell defense of the Alabama defense while he was in high school. So that allows him to kind of grasp things. But what did you take away from Max Bulla and what he was, you know, his comments to the media?
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of exactly kind of who I thought he was before. And I one thing I will say about, you know, Marcus Freeman and just like Notre Dame's like PR philosophy under him is I just love how they give access to so many of the coaches. Mm-hmm. And that they make them available like during, you know, camp, and they make them available during the spring. And then they also like make those guys, anyone who's new or promoted or something, like they always make those guys available. They make like the new transfers available, all that mm-hmm. stuff. That's great because it's like a lot of that stuff too, you get it out of the way rather than all of a sudden it's like the heart of camp. And then these guys are getting asked, you know, I don't want to say stupid questions, but questions that aren't related to what they're going through at the moment, right?
Because they haven't, because they haven't gotten to them yet.
Because they haven't gotten to it. Yes, right. Exactly. Right. And so I'm not blaming the media for that because that's right. The only time that they've done it. I'm just saying them doing it now, then they get to answer all these kind of questions. They get to go through all this stuff and it's great. It's great. So just, you know, thanks a lot to, you know, Katie Lonergan and everyone in the you know, sports information department who allows that access. He is exactly like, you know, what I kind of expect him to be, and everything I've heard about him too, is that yeah. he's just a ball coach. Like he is someone that, yes. And he was very much the linebackers coach last year. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, because like, Golden is very much like in control of everything. Right. Like he's the kind of leader and he gives everyone has a role. Right. Like one of Bull's roles was to, you know, prepare stuff for the red zone. And obviously, like, look at the improvement they had in the red zone.
Went well. Yeah.
Yeah. It went really, really well. They went from dead last to top 10 in the country. Right. So in red zone touchdown percentage. So I think obviously he's proven like you just look at like how, you know, I thought Bertrand and Maris Leofau and Kaiser too, really, like, it's the best those guys have played. And I know they're supposed to get better, but it's like they didn't make that jump the previous year, you know? So they made a jump there. And I think that was impressive. And everything I've heard about him is like, this guy is like, and it's not just like the clip of Mike Vrabel talking about how he's like one of the smartest guys he's ever coached. Right. But like, he's a very, very intelligent guy and a very good teacher and a very good like linebacker coach. So I think that's just only going to benefit, especially because they got so many young linebackers that are super mm-hmm. talented athletes that you just want to see these guys develop, because I think you're with me, Greg, that so many of these guys have a chance to become stars like that. Yeah. That it really is something. And it's not just like, you know, I know Drake Bowen is the one who immediately comes to mind because he's the guy who's probably like closest to it of like being next in line. But like,
yeah.
Really, all of these guys, right? Like, it's not just Drake Bowen and KVA, right? Like, Jaden Osbury could be, like, lights out, right? Like, I don't know that Preston Zinner won't be a stud. Like, it's just, there's a lot there to work with. There's a lot of material to work with. And obviously, like, I mean, we got to see what happens with, like, a guy like Jalen Snead too, right? Because I'm excited to kind of see where he's at. And I just think that there's so much I think one of these things where Notre Dame shouldn't have any problem attracting linebackers, and they're not recruiting that many linebackers in terms of they're never going to sign a huge class of linebackers, especially now because yeah. Nickel is base. And that was another thing. He kind of talked about how like, yeah, we're like pretty much a nickel team, right? Like, mm-hmm. because you have to be, you have to be, because that's who you play. That's who you're playing against. Right?
Right.
You have to be able to match up, and you can't just throw like a third linebacker out there just because, you know, that's the way it goes. It's like, no, you have to get out of that. And that's not how Marcus Freeman was before either too, because that's not how the kind of defense he ran at Cincinnati or in his first year at Notre Dame. But it's like, they had to adjust to that. And that was something that Golden kind of brought in. And that's something that obviously, you know, Bulla is well aware of. And obviously in the NFL, it's been a nickel league for a long time, right? It's been yep. a long time. So I just think he's like the kind of right fit at the right time. Obviously, he's got like the connection, which always is kind of like a nice thing. It's a nice story. And I just think he's like a really good coach and he's going to develop these guys. And I think because you have Chad Bowden and the staff of all, you know, the recruiting staff and just all these people that they can do all the glitz and the glam of like, here's the photo shoots and make this stuff all cool. I don't get the vibe that he's ever, that's his vibe at all, but it doesn't have to be his vibe.
Yeah, because
he just can be like, hey, you want to come here? You want to get developed? You want to talk ball? You want to be a better linebacker? You want that? Like, this is how we're going to use you in the defense. Like, he's just going to be a guy that I think really like impresses people when they get in the room with him. And if they care about that kind of stuff, which is the people they should care about at linebacker anyways, like, I think, you know, he's going to do really well.
He's a serious dude. That was my takeaway. Just listening to him, I was like, you're a serious person. And the one person I did think of is like, man, this guy's going to thrive is Drake Bowen. Because I know Drake Bowen a little bit. When I talked to him on the podcast when he was before he signed with Notre Dame, it just like I know how he is and the type of person that he is. And he is going to vibe with Max Bulla very, very well. So that's gonna be interesting. I'm very much monitoring Drake Bowen's progress in the spring. I think he's gonna really kind of blow up. So we're gonna have to keep an eye on that. All right, we're gonna end it there. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you liked what you heard today, please like this video. Please subscribe to our channel. Please hit the notification bell so you know whatever it is. We are going live. We'll be back later on this week with more talk. Maybe we'll do a hot take episode. Or maybe a mailbag show. We'll have to come up with which one of those we want to do. But you want to stay locked into that. Thank you, everyone. Head over to irishsportsdaily.com for all the latest on recruiting and updates on the staff and all those other things. We'll be back next week. Keep hitting later this week. Keep hitting and hustling.